is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Hey, turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head!
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
Why did you stop the jazz music? Was it not pleasant for you?
No one plays jazz here.
So why is the song on the jukebox?
We keep it on there for profiling purposes. We also got the Pet Shop Boys and Seal.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
I can't understand a word you said the whole time.
Did you eat some peanut butter or something?
Hey, it's Beans, and I live for this.
Up with it again. He's on the ice with Iginla. Iginla scores it! Sidney Crosby! The golden goal! And Canada has once in a lifetime Olympic gold!
The Hockey Show. Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM. Because we all live for this.
Strangers a little too much, trying to get it off my chest. Yeah, I said it though, I don't regret how I'm spending my days. And I'm sorry to hurt you with the truth, but it's important that you see me this way. But I don't feel so bad when things just don't work out. Can't seem to get out of bed. And I don't feel so rough when I don't measure up to the things that I've said.
Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Nice to have you along, everybody. Glad to have you along here in 2020. First show of 2020 for myself, anyway. Brian, I don't know if you've been on yet.
Nope.
No shows yet? No?
Nope.
Okay. Welcome to the airwaves in 2020, then, Brian. Brian with us here at the hockey show tonight. Going to have a little chat with him about some of the hockey stuff that's going on as we fade out Ariel Posen. Named one of the 10 best rock guitarists in the world in 2019 by Music Radar. So nice to have him named that. A Winnipegger named as one of the best guitarists on the planet.
That's pretty cool.
He ranks up there with guys like Justin Hawkins, Dan Hawkins from The Darkness. Slash was in the list.
John Mayer.
John Mayer in the list as well. Not to mention another guy that I'm a big fan of, Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. So a lot of good people in there. And Ariel Posen and Winnipegger in there as well. Nice to have him on. I had him on the morning show, actually, during Pledgerama as well. Got to talk to him about him going out on tour. He's heading over to Europe in the new year to do a little touring over in Ireland and England, I believe. So,
no way. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so good for him in terms of getting that going. So nice to have that song on featuring him, obviously, to get things going get things rolling here on The Hockey Show. How are you, Brian? How's everything going? You've been watching a lot of hockey, playing a lot of hockey?
I haven't played a lick of hockey in about a month.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
But I've been watching a decent amount.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to talk hockey.
There has been a lot of hockey on.
An insane amount of hockey.
Let's start with the oldest international tournament that we know of anyway, as it finished first. Let's go back to the Spengler Cup, where Canada absolutely dominated this tournament start to finish.
Is that not kind of the norm at this point?
Yeah, it is. And I think it says a lot about how good the players are that are going over to Europe. Now, one, it says how good the players are that are playing in Europe. Number two, it says how good the players maybe are in the NHL as well. If these guys can't make the NHL or aren't on the NHL radar.
No, I agree.
But it's nice to see some of the guys that maybe you don't associate with the NHL. A guy like Kevin Clark, a guy like Maxime Noreau, who never really got their shot, quote unquote. I mean, don't get me wrong, Christopher Stieg was super important for that team. He was vital on the power play, was a key force all the way through. But nice to see some of the guys that we rarely ever talk about, some of the guys that we rarely ever, you know, get a chance to really sort of follow up on, have great tournaments. Zach Fucali had another outstanding Spangler. He has not lost a game in regulation in his entire Spangler Cup career.
I wonder, I mean, because he's had such a decorated international career, I wonder, especially recently, if this will give an allow another team to kind of take a look at him and say, you know, maybe it's time. Because it does take goaltenders a little bit more time to mature.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm curious about that.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually looked up. I was confused at first. I was thinking, like, you know what? Fucali's been around forever. Like, it seems like he's been constantly on Canadian, you know, Canadian shows
right.
and talked about by Canadian sports writers and stuff for a number of years. He's only 24.
And he's younger than I am.
I'm like, that's
so
crazy that he's only 24 and he's played in like 4 Spangler Cups already. So good to see him. But 10-0-1 in his entire career out there. Over in Davos, anyway, in terms of the way he's played. 26 save gold medal winning performance in the Canadian net as he backed Canada, the 4-0 victory. They're 16th since 1984, 16 Spangler Cup championships for Canada.
I mean, they are, you know, you're not obviously getting the best players, but this is, it follows along the lines of the thought process that that Sean McIndoe, and I'm sure a lot of other pundits have from time to time, that, you know, like a Canadian B team would end up finishing like second or third in almost every single world championship.
And I mean, along those lines, I mean, nice to see, again, some of the guys that they're picking up or whatever in terms of getting things going. But just hearing, you know, just seeing,
you know, these are guys who didn't make it or didn't make it for very long.
Well, not only that, though, but just seeing how they came together so quickly and how some of these guys, you know, they get back together. It's like a big family reunion over there, because all these guys, I mean, some of these guys anyway played in the NHL, but a lot of these guys know each other.
Yeah, mostly from junior.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's nice to see these guys sort of, you know, interacting with each other and getting to know each other again and certainly having some fun. To give you an idea of how good Fucali was in the nets, 3-0 record this year. He had one game where Tompkins played, but a .33 goals against average, a .986 save percentage, and he's currently on a 151-minute, 29-second shutout streak that will now carry into next year's tournament if he's there.
I mean, he was incredible, but it also was a lot of team defense, too. If you watch those games, Canada played incredible team defense. He was saving a lot of shots,
yeah,
but he didn't have to make that many saves more than he should have.
A lot of rebounds that were cleared, you're right. A lot of you know, pretty clear shots that he could see, which was great.
He did make a couple of insane saves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was good throughout the entire tournament, but when you're not overworked or anything, like, I mean, Canada was putting on a lot of pressure on some of these teams as well.
Of course. Yeah.
They did play Trinich, who was the Czech Extraliga champion last year. They beat Trinich in the first game of the tournament on the 26th. We talked about that last week.
Yep.
And then came back, and Trinich made their way back to the final to play against Canada. Same, almost virtually the same story that from the first game,
yep,
which penalty trouble just sank Trinich in the second period.
Yeah.
And I mean, you look at that and you kind of go, against all that firepower that Canada's got,
you just can't afford them the extra man, or in some cases two.
Yeah.
It's wild to how disciplined these Canadian teams perpetually are in the Spangler, considering that they are, most of them aren't necessarily ultra familiar with these kinds of rules, seeing as how they do send guys from the E.
Yeah, and I mean, it's nice to see that there are guys that have adapted quickly to getting into sort of the bigger ice. I know Tompkins, again, was an AHL guy, but came from Rockford this year. Again, Fucali's been there before. He's playing with the Orlando Solar Bears this,
yep,
year. But seeing a guy like Christopher Stieg, who doesn't have a lot of experience on the big ice, really adapt his game to using all that extra space and becoming a far more, I don't know if he's more effective than what he was during the Stanley Cup years of the Blackhawks, but certainly in his later years now, far more effective than what he was in the AHL, where space really sort of confined him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really nice old man game, and
yeah,
this is going to be kind of a weird, odd comparison, but, you know, like an older Pavel Datsyuk or Steve Yzerman, they take those long looping strides, and they really use like the full width of their wingspan with the puck. You know, they're shifting it from far right of their body to like one-handed all, yeah, the way to the left. Like, he was... something different than I think I've ever seen Christopher Stee play.
We should make note, Winnipegger Kevin Clark led the tournament in goals 6 and points 8, was named a tournament All-Star along with Maxime Noreau and Zach Fucali. It's one of those tournaments that it's just fun to watch, and a lot of guys on there that you kind of go, I'm glad to see they're doing well. Like, I had no idea that Daniel Winnick was even still playing. I thought he had retired after
Tampa Bay
leaving.
Lightning.
Oh, I know. He's been all over the place, but I didn't know that he was actually still out there playing in Switzerland and certainly having some fun doing it. And it looked like he was having a good tournament as well. So a little sad to say that, David Desharnais did not play in the final, was injured, did not play in the semifinal either, replaced by Zach Boychuk, who now wins his second straight, or was now on a second straight Spengler Cup team, even though he wasn't available at the beginning of the tournament. But it's nice to see that some of these guys who couldn't really find a play, and I hate to use the term the smaller guys, but the Desharnais, the Versteegs, the Dustin Jeffries, the guys who legitimately were the smaller guys in the NHL for a number of years, go to the big ice and really stand out, really be the sort of the big men on campus there to if you want to use a cliche.
Yeah, I mean, a lot more space to use their speed and skill to their advantage. I really do wish that these kind of guys could thrive more in the NHL. That the refs would allow skill to shine through instead of just brute strength.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're never – and I prefer the larger international ice anyways, but you'll never see it in the NHL because those owners don't want to lose those two or three rows of extra premium seating.
Well, it's changing now as well in the KHL. It sounds like they're going to go to the hybrid ice now that the Finns use a lot, which is in between the international and the NHL ice. So even fewer rinks out there now having the big ice in front of them.
Yeah, that's a shame.
That's the way it is, apparently, though, the way they're looking at it. So the 93rd Spengler Cup wrapped up on New Year's Eve. Canada wins the gold medal over Trinic from the Czech Republic. Big tournament there for Canada. Congratulations to Craig McTavish and Paul Coffey, who were the coaches of that team, and then obviously everybody.
Oh, there's
who was
old
on that
boys
team.
Club.
Old boys club. Paul Postma. I don't know if you watched the game or saw any of the highlights. Paul Postma was like in like another world. Like, he grew up just loving Paul Coffey, and to be coached by him, he said, like, there's nothing he can say. Like, he just sits there in awe of listening to Paul Coffey talk about how to play defense. So kind of cool to hear that, those kinds of stories where these guys are seeing some of their heroes, even though they're NHL or former NHLers, hearing their how these heroes sort of came over and brought them together. So kind of cool to see that. Another tournament that finished today, actually, the Under-18 Women's World Championship. Some good stories that came out of this Under-18 as well. We'll start with the gold medal game, though, because I think it's important. Again, not surprisingly, Canada and the U.S. in the Under-18 gold medal game. The Russians did beat the Finns earlier in the day for the bronze medal, 6-1. So Russians continuing to show a very strong and promising women's program as they come up, looking to maybe make a little noise at the next Olympic Games. But Canada and the U.S. in the final, in the gold medal game. Abby Murphy scored in the first period, put Canada up 1-0. Sarah Paul scored in the third period to tie it up. Everybody excited to see where this game, and for the second straight year, overtime to solve this game. 3-on-3 overtime, a little bit different than what I think people are expecting. Again, when we see overtime in playoff games and overtime, not used to seeing just 3-on-3 to decide, championships, but it happened. Certainly got in and had some fun with that. Unfortunately for Canada, on the wrong side of the scoreboard on this one. 2-1 loss to the Americans as a turnover at their blue line. And I'm going to make a comment in a second that you're going to laugh at probably, Brian, but I mean, we can have our laughs about this, but a turnover at the blue line, and Tchaikovsky turned it over. Maggie Nicholson stole the puck from her and then went down on a 2-on-0, got a shot away on Gascon. She made the initial save, but Kiera Zanin tapped in the rebound underneath her to give Canada the silver medal and the U.S. the gold medal. Took a total of 76 minutes and 52 seconds to decide a winner in this one, but not surprising, Canada and the U.S. battling into overtime again just to find a winner at this this event like they seem to always do.
I actually have a connection to this team that I had completely forgotten about.
Oh, look at you!
To mention, but former goaltender coach of one Mr. Brian Svensson.
Oh!
Mentor and all-around good guy. And not only that, but former, I guess he is not a former, but he is a Bison men's hockey alumnus, Gord Woodall.
Oh, yeah, Gord, yeah.
The goalie coach on that team. Gordy.
Gord's been working with that team for a while now.
Is
Hockey Canada.
Gordy is Woody, as we call him, one of the best goalie coaches I think I ever had. Was so warm, friendly, open, taught me so much, not only about how to be a goaltender, but how to see the game in a different way.
Yeah. He's Hockey Canada trusts him with all their younger players, and it seems like Gord does a really good job with them. So nice to see Gord getting a little bit of recognition there from you, Brian, and from us.
One of the best coaches I've ever had, ever.
I don't want to make a comment about how bad 2019 was for one person in particular, but after finishing fourth at the U Sports National Championship with his team and now second place and not defending the gold medal. Howie Draper not having a good... I mean, he had a great 2019, don't get me wrong. National championships and certainly, you know, going to the World Championships again, the Under-18 World Championships again. There's no coaches out there that can basically say that. But Howie Draper coming up short in both attempts now in terms of the two biggest tournaments that he was involved with this year.
Yeah, it's going to make him frustrated. He's going to come in and he's going to light a fire under his players to try and get one back.
I have a feeling that, yeah, the Alberta Pandas may...
the Pandas might come out of the break like a bat out of somewhere.
They may certainly turn up the volume a little bit on their game and get things back on track as they sit in second. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. The other big game that one of the big games I wanted to point out, And I don't know if people are aware of this. We talked about this last week on the show. Slovakia at 15.7 years of age on average in terms of that team, the youngest team in the tournament. We were kind of pulling after they lost 4-2 to Sweden, kind of pulling that they may make a little history, win a game at the Under-18 World Championships. 3 days later, they did, as they went out and shocked the Swiss 3-2. I personally think this is a fantastic story.
I do too.
It's game was 0-0 until about 4 minutes remaining in the second period. Alexandra Stediarova, we'll spit that name out.
Sure.
Stediarova scored a goal to put the Slovaks up 1-0. Sinja Lehmann early in the third, or midway through the third period, tied it up for the Swiss. Romana Haliskova made it a 2-1 game 4 minutes later. And then just a minute and a half later, Jade Sertes made it a 2-2 game. In overtime, the Slovaks recording their first ever win at the Under-18 Women's World Championship. 2:52 into overtime, Julia Matikova scored the overtime winner for the Slovaks, as they legitimately had like an outstanding celebration on the ice. Like, they went crazy.
Yes. No, so, I don't blame them. I mean, it's a huge moment.
Oh, we got a call. You want to take a call today, Bri?
Sure.
Let's take a call then. Hello, caller. Can you hear us? Are you on? Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold on, caller. Hold on. We got to check one thing. Brian's going to check the connection here. Sorry. We'll get back to you in a second. Hold on, caller. Oh, can you hear us? Oh, no. He hung up. Nope. We're good. Thanks, Skippy. Skippy's out there doing the background work for us, but we'll bring that caller back if he comes in. But anyway, Slovakia, huge win. First time ever they've been at the Under-18 World Championship. First time ever they've won a game. So if the trivia ever comes down to who did the Swiss beat for their very first victory at the Under-18 World Championships?
Unlikely, but sure.
Unlikely, but sure. They still won. The only sad part is they got relegated. They lost two straight games to the Swiss to get relegated now, unfortunately. So I don't know who will be coming back, who will be replacing them next year, but we'll see.
Unfortunate.
But yeah, so the Under-18 Women's World Championship finished up today. Again, that's another great tournament. I know there was a lot of... I'm going to go off the board a little bit here. There's a lot of chatter online about how TSN should be covering this tournament. And I don't deny that. I don't deny that they should have highlight packages and information available, maybe breaking into their World Junior and Spengler Cup coverage. But there's a lot of discussion about this. TSN legitimately picks the games, the tournaments that people are going to watch on TV so they can make money.
We've mentioned this a bunch of times. There's no reason for them to not. They have so much space and time. They've got, what, like 6 channels?
Okay, so that's the problem, though, is that if you don't subscribe to one of the bigger TV packages, you only get TSN 3 in the Winnipeg region.
Oh.
TSN 1, TSN 2.
Are they still broadcasting it on any of those other channels?
So they broadcast group, I guess it was group A for the World Juniors on 1 and 3 mostly. That's not right. That's on 3 and 5 mostly.
Okay.
And they broadcast Canada's group on 1, 4, and 5 mostly. Spengler Cup was always on 2.
Okay.
So depending on what region you lived in, depending on what your TV package was, you may not have got the games you wanted to see. You wouldn't have seen, if you didn't have the package here in Canada, or here in, at least in Winnipeg, where we live, to get the Canadian games, you would have had to wait for the replays that came on later in the evening.
That's not necessarily true. I don't know if you know this, but if you have TSN, like if it's part of your cable package, you can go on TSN Go, the
right.
app.
You can still go on the Go and get the app then.
Right.
But again, you're limited in terms of what they have available in terms of
The
TSN. Well,
see,
TSN Go, because again, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You can only watch one at a time, right?
Yeah.
So I get where people are coming from that TSN maybe should jump on this and show this tournament. I get that. But the problem is that they are limited in A, their technology. I mean, they have a ton of channels, but they, the way they set up their pricing and their packaging allows them to make money, which keeps them on the air, which keeps them
right.
going to these tournaments.
Makes sense.
B, yeah, they hold it and they could probably subcontract it out to people, but if they don't, they're not losing anything by not doing that.
No, I guess it's fair.
And C, and again, I'm not making excuses for TSN. I seriously do think they should be broadcasting.
Of course.
This, but network TV is a different animal than I think than what a lot of people. I mean, we know it from just working at on Canada West TV.
Of course, yeah.
It's a different animal than what it seems like it is when you're watching it at home or watching it on a web stream or whatever.
I mean, we can both speak to all kinds of the crazy problems that we go through that nobody ever sees, right?
Right.
It's not only a shoestring budget, but it is just a cacophony of errors that we are covering up from moment one.
Legitimately, if we make it onto air on time with no problems,
it's a miracle.
Oh, I mark that day down in history, folks. Like, there are things that go wrong 5 minutes before we broadcast, and we're scrambling just to make sure that we're on the air. And again, I'm not taking it away from TSN. I'm not taking away the IIHF when they changed the camera format. And don't get me wrong, I know the IIHF was to blame for that awful fisheye camera they had up there.
It was really bad.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
But they changed it. They listened to the people and they changed it. They made sure that people could watch the games normally.
Yep.
Full credit to the IIHF for doing that. Again, I take nothing away from them. But to blame TSN for not broadcasting this when the Spengler Cup generally attracts over 600,000 to 700,000 people per game, even when games that Canada aren't playing.
Really?
Probably more when.
Wow.
So in 2013, I went looking for all the ratings that I could find. In 2013, over the two-week holiday period, of the top 10 games that were shown of all sports across all networks, three of them were Spengler Cup games.
Holy cow.
The lowest number that they had was 650,000 people that
That's
were watching.
That's remarkable. I had no idea.
Not only that, but two of the Spengler Cup games ended up in the top five, beating all the NFL games on all of the Canadian networks.
I mean, I think that there is a growing animosity, especially in Canada, towards the NFL.
And maybe that's true. Maybe that happened. This is 2013, though. We're talking about, 6 years ago now.
Right.
I'm not taking anything away from the way that, again, Spengler Cup coverage has grown, and certainly they're putting more stuff. The problem is that, again, I think that TSN needs to do a better job in not forgetting about the other tournaments that are going on. Yeah, I know the World Juniors make them a ton of money. Yeah, I know Spengler Cup makes them some money. But they can't forget about the other tournaments. If you're gonna have that exclusive Hockey Canada contract, you cannot forget about the other tournaments
no,
that are going on.
No, especially the women's tournaments. We're trying to grow women's hockey
right.
as a thing in this country, and they themselves have said that they want to, multiple mission statements
right.
and whatever investor calls have said that they want to grow the women's game more and more and more. And to not put at least the gold medal, and at least not the medal games.
Yeah.
They should at least put the medal games on.
For sure. I don't disagree with that at all. So,
If you're not going to show the group phases, I can kind of understand it, that it's probably difficult to get a crew out there for every single one of those games.
Well, again, we're available. Just ask.
We are, in fact, available. I'm sure Pajak would love to come with us, too.
I'm sure we could squeeze him in, yeah.
I doubt that they're going to come calling us.
No, I doubt that as well.
I saw the shout out from Venla.
I will say this, though. Dustin Nielsen, who was on TSN Radio out in Edmonton, is now doing Spengler Cup games. TSN, just reach out. I will gladly go to these games. If I have to pay my way over there just for you to put me up in a hotel, I'll even consider that. But yeah, there should be a webcast at least, or yeah, there should be a a YouTube channel, or yeah, there should be something where TSN can take advantage of
that.
You
don't even have to have commentary for the round games.
No, for the round games.
For the medal games, send out a commentary team. Send out you know, send out Cassie Campbell and
she's CBC Sports now.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's fair.
Tessa's over at the World Juniors.
you're Wickenheiser to go.
We're knocking off, well, busy with the Leafs. We're knocking off, oh, we're knocking off players that can, and that's the thing is that I don't even care. It doesn't have to be a player. I know that there's on ice talent, and there's certainly, you know, on air talent that TSN has, but they're stretched pretty thin. I mean, between regional games that they cover for, you know, in Montreal and Winnipeg and, right, and other places, Vancouver, between the World Juniors, who have Bayak and Gord Miller and Ferraro and now Craig Button's over there, between
Bayak is terrible. Well, that's never a conversation.
Yeah, we won't bring that up today. between the Spengler Cup, which has Dustin Nielsen and Doug Honberg or Honneberg over there.
What if you could send Rod Black? Better than nothing.
I will state this gently because I know of Rod and we've talked a few times about women's hockey and Rod's insistence on using the same lines over and over again while flubbing players' names.
Better than nothing.
But it's not, though. And that's the part that bothers me, is that better than nothing is never better than nothing, because if you're going to screw up people's names, you shouldn't be there.
I guess that's fair.
And I'm not saying that negatively about Rod Black. I'm talking about anybody. If those players have earned the right to be on the ice for us to call their name, we better get their names right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. But, you know, for the round games, even if you just toss it up on YouTube with a camera person and...
For sure.
One single hard camera,
yep,
like we do, no commentary, fine. Send a crew for the gold medal game.
Yep, I agree. That's the way it should be. But apparently it doesn't happen.
We're available.
We are available, TSN. We're just saying.
the new slogan
Hockey
of the show.
You know what? Hockey Canada, we're available. Double IHF, we're available. Just say the word. Just say the word. We'll make it happen.
We'll be there.
Other games that happened today include the World Juniors. We'll talk about that coming back. Oh, I've got a few minutes. I've got about 5 minutes here.
We've got 5 minutes.
Let's talk quickly about the other games that happened. I don't need this one anymore. This is the women. There we are. Czech Republic, they're done. Well, not done, I guess, but they're basically done. Lost 5-0 to Sweden today. No surprise there. Sweden was basically a juggernaut coming to this. They got all sorts of scoring. Looked like they might actually have a chance at winning a gold medal this year.
They are scary. They're really scary.
They were good today.
I have a hard time believing that they won't win the gold medal, but it's a single knockout, so all it takes is one goaltender to get hot for one game.
Here's the thing, and I know that they're based on, and again, I'm not taking anything away from other teams that have done this, because there's been some very good offensive teams that have been at these past, you know, the tournaments over the past years. Can you name one of the Swedish goaltenders?
No.
See, I can't either. And that's the thing. If you don't know who the goaltender is, that means their offense is doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
The chemistry that they have,
yes,
is insane.
Yeah.
The passes that they make without looking, the fact that, like, you know, they'll be coming down the ice, and, I mean, obviously they're talking, but you don't hear it on the mics, and
no,
they know exactly where everybody is, and it's just boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
pucks in the net. And it's like, you know, these kids have been playing together basically their entire lives.
It's a Scandinavian Nordic hockey. Like, the Finns are similar to
it's,
that.
It's like they're playing pond hockey and in a different sport,
yeah,
than the other teams they're playing against. It's insane. They're so good.
Highlight from the Czech... Well, I guess not a highlight, but it's kind of a highlight. Highlight from the Swedish-Czech game, Sweden-Czech game. David Gustafsson from Winnipeg Jets finally scored a goal.
Hey.
Scored the fifth goal in the 5-0 victory. On a pass from Nils Höglander, who also scored in the game twice.
That kid is so good.
That kid's...
Höglander is incredible.
That kid is...
I hope his game translates. I really do.
That would be scary, because he's very good.
I don't know. It sucks. Like, I want to see the good players from junior become great players in the NHL.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
It's really sad when they don't, and then they go over to Europe, and they end up being great over in Europe. Nigel Dawes being a really prime example of that, you know? Really great junior player, great world junior player, does all sorts of amazing things internationally, gets pigeonholed into the wrong role in the NHL,
yeah,
goes over to the K and is like the leading scorer in that league, like seven years running.
You can look at that league and just go, like, that one team, when Barry Sastana was really good, but had Nigel Dawes on it, Dustin Boyd was over there lighting it up, Brandon Bocinski, who looked like he was going to be a solid player for both Ottawa and for Boston,
yep,
and you kind of go, what happened to these? And they're over there scoring at will, basically.
A lot of them got pigeonholed into the wrong role.
Exactly. And that's the problem. You don't really want to see that, but it happens, I guess. So,
which is unfortunate.
All the scoring happened in the second period of this one, but Sweden will face the winner of Russia and Switzerland, and it was not Switzerland. It was Russia. as Russia actually got a pretty solid game out of Askarov today.
I was surprised. I obviously, as I work, so I got home and I read the synopsis of it, and people were like, yeah, Askarov is really good today, and I was really surprised. I'm surprised that they've stuck with him.
Voronkov had a pair of goals in the second period. He was the sort of the difference maker there. Him and Alexander Kovanov.
I can't see Sweden not just steamrolling them.
See, I look at that and I think the same thing. I think that there's just too many. Switzerland had chances today, and that's the thing. They just didn't bury them. But whether it was Askarov making a good save or them just missing the net, I look at Sweden and I go, Sweden won't miss those chances.
No, of course not. I mean, it's if you told me that, you know, that game will be 3 or 4 nothing and Askarov will be on the bench by the end of the first period, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know what? You might not be wrong. I could see that happening, to be honest.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a little scary to think about that, but because then if everything goes as planned, it would be Canada standing in their way, and that could be another onslaught if they really wanted to. But
don't get me started about Nico Dodds.
Maybe it might not be. Joel Hofer, Winnipegger has shown that he's game. He has been probably,
he's the better of the two, in my opinion.
The better of the two goalies for sure. But I like the way that Hofer just doesn't let it, nothing seems to rattle him, which is great.
He's such a battler, too. He's the exact opposite of Dawes.
Yeah.
You know, Dawes, the smallest thing shakes him. You can tell if a guy gets in his space, he's flustered about it. He doesn't fight for pucks. He's very lazy in his net. And Hofer is the exact opposite. Everything for him is just a battle. He doesn't want to give up on the puck. He's shoving guys in the crease. He is on the verge of being real hot-headed. But he's a battler. And that's exactly what I want to see. I want to see a guy fight for every puck.
A lot. And again, I don't know who's been, you know, teaching him how to do that or whatever, but I find him to be...
That's something you don't learn. You don't get taught.
No. But I mean, just in terms of like his goaltending style and stuff or whatever. Yeah. I don't know who's been teaching him, but I like the fact that he, like you were just saying, he doesn't give up. It's until that whistle goes, he's tracking, he's following, he's moving, he's constantly got his head on a swivel to see who's around him, see who's coming from
ice awareness is on another level.
Yeah, like he's completely a different player than the way Dawes plays. And I don't have a doubt that Dale Hunter goes back to him tomorrow. But the only thing I worry about again is. If the Finns play their suffocating defense like they did against the Americans, we'll talk about that in a second, it's going to be a different game for Canadians. They got to find a way to get through.
Yep.
They might need another big game on Lafreniere, who had an outstanding game today, I thought.
Bonkers. We want to talk about that after the break?
Yeah, we're going to go to a break quickly here. We'll be back in apparently this legal ID is only 6 seconds, so I don't know if you need a break here, Brian? You want to take a break? Okay. Brian's going to take a break. I'll come back after 6 seconds. We'll get everything set up for the second half here on the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM.
Yo, this is 3Flexion, and you're listening to 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg.
And as I said, back in 6 seconds, not going to be a long break there, but a quick break because we got a lot to go over still. So the first semifinal will feature Sweden versus the Russians. Sweden finishing top in their pool. Russians still alive now as the crossover helps them out a little bit as they will now play the Swedish team, who look like juggernauts. They look like they're really good out there. On the other side, again, Canada and the U.S. are going to meet in the semifinal with a chance to go to the gold medal. Canada will play for a medal. So at least 3 medals in the 3 tournaments over the holidays. It's the Spengler Cup, silver medal at the Under-18 Women's World Championship. I just want to go back to that for a second in terms of the Under-18 Women's World Championship. We saw some really good performances there. And I know that, again, I know Brian will be back in a second here to talk about this a little bit as well. But some of the women that played there were really good, and I'm quite impressed. I'm going to even bring up the Americans as well. Skylar Vetter. Their goaltender, no relation to Jesse Vetter, who was a longtime American goaltender, played in a number of Olympics and all sorts of world championships. No relation there in terms of the two Vetters. But Skylar Vetter is only 16 years old. She could be back for another one next year. She's already got a silver medal. She's already got a gold medal. She could be back for a third medal next year, which is awesome for seeing Skylar Vetter do really well with the Americans this year. But I looked at a few of these players that were playing for Canada, and Frederik Nod, who's going to be going to Boston University next year. Outstanding tournament, I thought, in terms of the way she played. Again, looking at a couple of these of the other women as well. Kendall Cooper, I thought, had a great she'll be going to Quinnipiac next year. She had a great tournament on defense. I thought Nicole Gosling was outstanding as well. As Gosling played really well through the entire tournament. Eve Gascon, who's the goaltender for Canada, has not commit to anywhere yet in terms of the way that they're going. Jesse McPherson going to Vermont and Kale Osborne going to Colgate, but Eve Gascon not committed to anywhere yet. She had an outstanding tournament as well for Canada, I thought, in terms of the way that they played. But yeah, just a good tournament overall for a number of the women that were playing there, and certainly over in the on the women's side, there were some great tournament, great performances there as well. Again, I am overly impressed with Skylar Vetter maybe coming back for a third chance at a medal. Lacey Eden, who had a great tournament as well. 2 goals, 3 assists for her in the 5 games that they played. She was outstanding for the Americans as well in terms of just seeing their ability. But again, balanced scoring throughout. Really liked a couple of the American players who, again, Kiera Zanin, who scored the game-winning, the gold medal-winning goal today. She had a good tournament as well, and I thought Abby Murphy, again, outstanding effort from her in terms of getting things going. So fantastic to get all them going. Brian is back now as we get into – I'm going to go back to the World Junior Championship now as I finish my rambling about the women's tournament. But again, missed out on some good hockey if you didn't watch that tournament, didn't watch any of the games. It was outstanding hockey. Let's get to the earlier game. As the Americans and Finns squared off.
Yeah.
We've seen this with the Americans all tournament long. Offensive juggernaut, really thin when it comes to their defense. Really not. Spencer Knight, who was one of the better goaltenders in the tournament last year, has not looked like Spencer Knight whatsoever. I don't know if he's not, if he just not feeling it this year, not into the zone this year, but.
So my read of it, and I don't want to prescribe anything on anybody, but I think he's not. I think he's hurt. He certainly looked it,
which to me is surprising because, and I'm not saying that I'm surprised that he's hurt. He could be hurt in terms of what's going on.
He's
but
just a tick slower than I'm used to seeing from
but
him.
But why roll him out if he's not? If he doesn't look right, like that's the thing that I always want. I know he's your guy. If you're Scott Sandlin, he was the head coach of the
always,
World Junior.
You always hope that you know it's just a mental thing and that he'll. You know, he'll get his game together.
Well, 4:23 into the third period, Eunice Oden scored for Finland, assisted by Christian Tanis and Ville Heinola.
Ville Heinola.
Guy from the Winnipeg Jets fans know very well, as Heinola has a big assist there. Gives the U.S. A little bit of headache, 1-0.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the game, but it is difficult to say a guy wasn't feeling it or wasn't quite great and he only let in one goal.
And that's the thing, is that you look at that and you kind of go, okay, like, you know, this probably is going to turn out, you know, okay. A lot of offense on that side for the Americans. Very even down the middle. Americans outshot the Finns 30-29. So it was pretty much even. Where things got a little bit crazy, though, and I'm pretty certain that he's going to face some sort of, I don't know, there's going to be some sort of suspension waiting for him if he ever comes back and plays international hockey. But Oliver Wahlstrom threw a pretty ugly check to the head. Got a match penalty for it. So,
yes. Yeah.
I don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, but
nope.
Let's hope that. I mean, the Finn that got hit is okay for the next game because that would be awful. He's got a couple days to rest. They'll play again on Saturday. But just one of those things where you just kind of go, why? Why?
From Bob McKenzie, for what it's, quote, for what it's worth, Team USA was told that the only review of an American player by IIHF Disciplinary Committee is for John Beecher on his hit from behind. There are, however, apparently 2 incidents from the USA-Finland game being reviewed by IIHF Hockey. Presumably the other would be a Finnish player.
I would assume that as well. Although, again, and I'll talk about this in a second, there was a player that was thrown out of the Canadian game today for what was... I'm going to classify...
Foot, right?
Yeah, no
disciplinary action already, Pat said, coming from that.
But I look at that and I go, I get that it was a big hit. It was a big hit. It was a clean hit, and I go,
I think so.
I don't understand how you can start tossing guys if they're clean. Like, you should at least be able to have the ability to go back. If the officials have the ability to go and review goals, if you're going to make a call of that nature, you better be right, yeah. Or you better go get it right.
I am of the staunch opinion that we should just not have replay review in sports. I just take it that, like, sometimes refs get things wrong.
Right.
I would rather, because, like, the second you start adding all this technology and, like, all this stuff into it, it's really difficult to go by the spirit of the law. You have to then go by the exact letter of the law in every single case. And nobody ever considers all the different ways that things could go wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And it's very problematic. And then you get these, like, 6-minute reviews where you're looking at every single frame and every single pixel. And I just wish they would take it out.
Well, I mean, you kind of hope that at some point somebody would figure it out. But I guess, you know, no big deal. If nothing is going to come of that call on Nolan today, that's
sure
fine.
Sure doesn't seem like it.
But Nolan Foote with a monster hit anyway. So the Americans fall, unfortunately, to the Finns, depending on who you're cheering for, by a score of 1-0, which means that their tournament is over.
Yep.
Not for all of the offense that they brought into this tournament, not really the way that you would expect them to go out. Ty Emberson, of all the people today on the ice, Ty Emberson led the team in shots with 4. Defender Ty Emberson.
Yeah, I mean, Finland is just really good at keeping the puck into non-danger zones.
So for all the hype that a guy like Zegras got for his behind-the-back and spinorama passes, be going home watching from the couch now in terms of who's going to win. The other game that happened today, so the Finns advance. They will play the winner of Canada and the Slovakians, and it didn't go well for Slovakia.
Well, really good for Canada.
Barrett Hayton scored a goal in the first period, an assist to Alexis Lafreniere. Remember that name because he's going to get named a couple other times here. Connor McMichael made it a 2-0 game. Jacob Bernard Docker in the second period also scored for a 3-0 game. Liam Foudy made it a 4-0 game. And before the end of the second period, Alexis Lafreniere, actually before the 31-minute mark, Alexis Lafreniere made it 5-0 for Canada.
Yeah, they just coasted from there.
From there, it was just coasting. Barrett Hayton scored in a minute into the third period before Olivier Auclair, whatever. Doesn't really matter because he's going home anyway. Scored at 46-10 as Canada downed.
Says the guy who just went on a rant about how, as broadcasters, we should know guys' names.
Listen, I didn't see the game. I was at work. I can be blamed for that. But
plus, we're not getting paid to do this.
Well,
so.
Yeah. In saying that, though, Canada did win over Slovakia by a score of 6-1. So it will be a Canada-Finland semifinal on the one side, and then obviously on the other side it'll be Russia and Sweden. Just taking a quick look here. A lot of roughing penalties late in the game. There was some pushing and shoving, it looks like. Dylan Cousins, for example. Alexis Lafreniere went to the box. But Joel Hope for another victory for Canada, so good on him, and certainly good on Canada for holding on and keeping that going. Martin Vitalos was hit with a checking from behind penalty. I don't know if anything's going to be reviewed for that, but I doubt it in terms of the Slovaks there. So
unlikely. Tournament's over. Don't see any real reason for it.
Kaelin Addison, the Brandon-born player for Canada, having a good tournament as well. Had a couple of assists again today in terms of the way that he played. So good for him. Looks like he's making a name for himself. Yeah, the 5-minute penalty today, though, for checking to the head and neck area on Nolan Foote, though, I still disagree with. So
yeah, well, I mean, I get being more cautious towards it.
Like 53 seconds in, and they assess that penalty, and you just go, like, you just took out one of our best shooters. What are you doing?
I mean, listen, like, I get both sides, right?
I do as well.
I totally understand both sides. Like, I get wanting to protect kids in their head area.
Yeah.
As someone who's had, oh, Christ, I think I'm on 7 concussions now.
Yeah, you just slow that down a little bit. Canada outshot the Slovaks, if you're interested, 44-18. Again, penalty field affair. 37 penalty minutes for Canada, 32 for the Slovaks today.
Yep.
So after an hour of penalty time, we finally got a winner there. It's Canada will advance and play against the Finns on Saturday to determine who plays in the final on Sunday at the World Junior Championship. So we'll have all that next week in terms of rounding out the final information there. Do you want to talk about a couple of the things? We talked last week about the rant that, or we didn't get a chance to talk, the rant that Tortorella went on about the officials.
Haven't had a chance. We also have to talk about some trades, because some trades have gone down in the NHL within the past hour.
I was going
to
say, there have been a couple. I've noticed that Mike Riley was one of them in terms of him getting traded. So what
order do you want to tackle this in? Do we want to make sure that we squeeze the trades in first because they are the most pressing news? Torts is kind of strange.
Torts is strange, but Torts I will. I'm going to play the Torts clip right now. Okay. If you haven't heard it, folks, you might want to settle in for this because Torts went on an epic rant. What happened in the game against Chicago on the, I guess it's the 29th that it happened, Sunday the 29th. Basically, Torts thinks that the clock should have been blown dead at 19.2 when the ref's arm went up and the whistle went. According to John Tortorella, it ran down to 18.1 seconds. The NHL and the timekeepers in Nationwide Arena in Columbus decided not to make any changes to the clock, let it play at 18.1 seconds.
Sure.
And then Zach Werenski scored late in overtime. That was actually not during game time. He scored after the horn had sounded, which sent Tortorella on a bit of a rant during the game. In the shootout, Jonas Korpisalo, was injured, which their starting goaltender now is out for 4 to 6 weeks with a meniscus injury to his knee.
Which could be a lot longer for anybody who's had a meniscus injury.
And if you understand how important starting goaltenders are in the NHL, especially the way that Korpisalo was playing recently, this kind of set the whole thing off. Here is John Tortorella in his post-game comments.
So the whistle blows. The whistle is blown at 19.2 on the clock. For some reason, the clock has run down a second and a tenth to 18.1. For whatever reason, I have no idea.
Nice catch.
So instead of resetting the clock,
they're all censored. We're good.
We have them tell our captain we're not going to do it. Toronto doesn't step in. Refs don't do their freaking job. And now we lose the game and we lose our goalie. So the chain of events, if it was done right, we don't lose our goalie, we win the hockey game. So all this technology, right? The technology and getting things right. The stubbornness tonight by the officials and by the league and Toronto, however it's supposed to work, screws us. It's ridiculous. I'm not taking any god.
And that's the end of the press conference for John Tortorella.
So
now again, I
agree with Torts.
Hold on. So I am going to go out on a limb here and say, if you go back to 2012, you'll remember that there was a game between the visiting Columbus Blue Jackets and the Los Angeles Kings where the game clock stopped for a full second on 1.8 seconds and allowed LA to win the game because they scored a goal within that final couple of seconds.
Right.
So they kind of screwed over. Again, after that game came out, Colin Campbell sent an email to the Los Angeles Times Helen Elliott that read, quote, "We've initiated a number of steps to ensure that there will be no clock issues in all arenas in the NHL. We are observing all last minutes of each period to make sure there are no blips or pauses in the last minute in the video booths upstairs. In our new video room in Toronto, we will now receive live feeds of the overhead, so we are not slave to the TV to see if they show the overheads. We will find a way to bleed the clock feed into the overheads now. We have implemented a few other items into the clock process as well to make sure there can be no burps," unquote.
Right.
Okay. So that's what happened. Torts was handed a $20,000 fine and warned, "If you do this again before the end of 2020, you will receive an additional $25,000 fine."
So is this the first time there's ever been a conditional punishment levied on somebody?
I'm almost certain that there is. However, Tortorella came back and walked back his comments, said, "You know what? It was unprofessional of me to talk like that," after the NHL agreed that it was unprofessional. But what I have a problem with, though, is that Colin Campbell came out in a statement and said the decision to not to add the time back to the clock was a judgment call by the referee as he had checked with the clock operator before denying the Blue Jackets' request to put 1.1 seconds back on the clock. Campbell also added the NHL Situation Room didn't see the need to get involved, which is exactly what he said wouldn't happen in 2012.
I mean, Colin Campbell, is like maybe the worst hockey executive that has ever existed ever.
But this is what I mean. He's only made the situation worse.
As he does. He's atrocious. He has always been atrocious. Why are we surprised when Colin Campbell does things bad?
We shouldn't be. But I think that the fine, the $20,000 plus the conditional fine now that Tortorella's got hanging over his head is a little unruly when Colin Campbell can't actually follow the exact email he sent out that said, we will be responsible for this.
I mean, yeah. Look, they got it wrong. They got it wrong. That's all you can say about it. They got it wrong.
I agree. I think that this is an absolute epic failure again on the part of the NHL. But
I'm not surprised.
It's the NHL. What else do we expect, right? In saying that, then, a lot of trades have gone down. You want to run down? Let's run down a few of them,
yep.
Then, because
so,
I was trying to bring them up here and getting up to speed on.
About
on
an hour ago, the Sens have acquired Mike Riley, defenseman, from Montreal for a fifth-round pick in 2021 and forward Andrew Sturtz. Apparently the reason why they sent a player back is because Eugene Melnyk cannot afford anything else on the balance sheet. Serious. I'm not kidding.
I wouldn't doubt that.
That was another tweet that's involved in here, too. Half an hour after that, the Montreal Canadiens acquired defenseman Marco Scandella from the Buffalo Sabres in return for a fourth-round pick in 2020, acquired from the San Jose Sharks.
Scandella, who has been scratched recently in a number of games, had requested a trade along with he and teammate Bogosian. Bogosian had also requested a trade, so it looks like one of those two are on the way out, which
yes.
is nice.
The tweet here from Chris Stevenson, as to why the Sens gave up a player and a pick for Riley, a player an NHL executive said was going to go on waivers tomorrow. The Sens can't afford to just add another contract. They remain at $48 to $50 million after this deal, so they had to have another player going the other way, which is baffling to me. One last thing. Another piece in all these moves today. Buffalo is getting Michael Frolik from Calgary.
Yeah.
The pick that the Sabres got from Montreal goes to the Flames.
A 2020 fourth round pick, exactly. So Frolik, who had long been sort of quietly asking for either a top six role or a way out, gets his wish to go to the Buffalo Sabres.
I think he's been pretty washed for a while, so I guess we'll see, but I don't think this changes anything for Buffalo.
I don't think so either.
But I think just in general, it doesn't really change anything for Buffalo. I think Montreal is kind of getting the better end of this weird three-way trade in total.
Marco Scandella should be okay in terms of adding that, but I
he
like
is
Mike.
He's a perfectly average NHL defenseman.
Well, and I was going to say I like the addition of Mike Riley, adding a little offense to the blue line as well. I don't like the fact though that the Habs did announce today that Brendan Gallagher has a concussion and will be out.
Yeah, I mean that's not particularly helpful for them. They're not in the playoff picture anymore, are they? They're on the outside looking in.
Right. So I think this is sort of a got to do something to.
Do we think that Bergevin loses his job if the Habs miss again?
I don't think he loses his job. I think that question is raised though in the offseason if they miss the playoffs.
My old man is a Habs fan, and he puts it this way: is that the Habs have all of these incredible second line players, but they don't have any first line players.
So the one thing that kills me though about the Habs is they have all this cap room that they're not using.
Oh no, we've talked about it a number of times. You and like, I and myself and my father weaponize it. You have all this cap space. You have owners that aren't afraid to spend to the cap. Weaponize that cap space. Either set yourself up for a great free agency, or not a great free agency, but a great rebuild by obtaining a bunch of prospects and picks in order to take on people's bad contracts. Or, go out there and use that cap space to acquire, Taylor Hall.
Somebody
obviously
of
he's not available,
yeah.
But, somebody along those lines. I don't know.
Little shook up to Reed as well. Jake Guentzel going to be out for a long time now after that shoulder injury.
I think like 6 weeks?
Yeah.
At least.
Longer, probably longer than what we're looking at based on how shoulders heal. We'll have to hope that everything comes back normally. But little sad to see that because he was having an outstanding season for the Penguins.
Yep.
Announced today that Sami Niku would come up after Nathan Beaulieu.
Twitter will be very happy about
that.
Yeah,
Sami Niku is going to come up. Sounds like Carl Dahlstrom will play tonight against the Leafs, but then it'll be all Niku all the time after that. So
I don't have, there aren't really a lot of advanced statistics for the AHL. that exist. So I'll be interested to see. But the statistics that do exist from Niku's time in the Big Show aren't exactly super favorable.
No, but at the same time, though, if you need to boost your offense from the back end, Sammy Niku is probably the best option you have right now. And certainly in terms of having him paired with, if we're talking about a Beaulieu, Beteto pairing going forward, you're better off just playing four defensemen.
yeah. I don't mind Nathan Boileau. I think
Nathan Beaulieu can be effective with the right player.
Correct.
Beteto's not that bad.
I think Anthony Beteto is maybe the worst Jets defenseman ever since they've come back.
You might be right on that. I'm not taking anything away from that. But
the last time I looked at his Corsi, I think it's at 36%, which is abominable.
I'm surprised it's above zero. But in saying that, one other thing we got to get to, just because it's the last thing we got to get to, sure. Winter Classic. What'd you think? Did you watch it yesterday?
I caught a small chunk of it. Man, those Stars uniforms were on point. They were so nice.
I thought both of the teams looked pretty good. I'm still not a big fan of the Winter Classic. I'm still not a big fan of stadium games.
No, we talked about this last week. I agree with you.
You're 200 feet away, so it's just a modified pay-per-view for most people.
Hearing about some of the weird things that happened like during commercial breaks and during period breaks that are like Texas staples.
Yeah.
Like the pig race.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
That it's unique for sure. Corey Perry, though, had himself a short day.
The world's longest walk of shame, that was.
You know what, though?
And he deserved it.
I'm going to say this
despicable.
Right now. Oh, the hit that he threw was ridiculous. I'm going to say right now, though, Corey Perry, for all the good he brings to teams in his offense, is nothing more at this point than a hired mercenary. I mean, Dallas hasn't had him in the lineup because of injuries for a short period of time at the beginning of the season. He comes back. He's kind of playing all right. He's not putting up a ton of points, not doing a lot of great things. Comes out in this Winter Classic and all of a sudden tries to decapitate Ryan Ellis. And you go, why? Like, there's no point to that hit.
None. I have no idea what's going through his mind at that particular moment in time. You know, his team's in a playoff battle right now.
Yeah.
And to pull that, I don't get it, man.
I don't understand it either. Good on Dallas for recovering, though, after giving up two early goals to score four to win that game.
Yeah.
Ben Bishop had a good bounce back after that shaky sort of first 10 minutes of the game, although it wasn't really his fault. His team didn't really show up either. But
Hard to get yourself up, I think, for those games, from what I've heard from a lot of players.
Middle of the afternoon in a weird environment where everything sort of changes, I would agree. I think it would be tough to get up for those games. But, hey, Dallas ended up winning and certainly needed the 2 points because trying to keep pace with the teams that are in and around them as well. Jets are one of those teams that they had after a big win against a Colorado team that looked like they were on fire for a little bit, goes in and has the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. I'm going to get Skippy. You want to get on the are you calling this one? Let's get in on this one, Skip. We're gonna throw it to the Wolves here. Skippy, you're on four. Thoughts on tonight's game, Jets and Toronto Maple Leafs. Who pulls out the victory tonight?
First, I'll say free Niku.
You know, well, he will be. Hashtag. Yeah. Hashtag free Niku, yeah. Yeah.
But it's one of those, I think it's, the Jets are up, down, I think now they're on the downswing. Like a couple games up, couple games down. That just seems to be the consistency, and I'm calling it, this is one of their down games.
Oh, the Leafs win in Winnipeg. Look at you, Skippy.
I think there'll be more Leafs fans in that building than Jets fans.
There's always that
50-50. Yeah. I wouldn't say more.
There's always
close.
That setup, but
because I was at the Habs Jets game on the 23rd, and
there were a lot of Habs fans there than Jets fans. There were a lot of Habs fans there. I won't deny that. It's funny. I was. Are you calling Leafs? Or are you calling Jets tonight?
I hate the Leafs.
So do I. But
I think the Leafs are going to win 4-1.
4-1. Look at you. I was having a good laugh today. The top four teams in the Metropolitan Division right now, if you threw everybody together, top four teams in the Metropolitan Division would actually be leading the Pacific Division right now. That's how bad the Pacific Division has been this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I wish we had more time and space to talk about it. I know we don't, but I have a lot of problems with a lot of the Pacific Division teams this year.
Well, I mean, I don't deny that. I do, too. But that's ridiculous to think that Washington, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, and Carolina are all better than the seven teams that are playing in the Pacific Division. not only that, but Philadelphia is 1 point out of first, if you want to throw it in there as well. They have 49 points.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been a lot of really bad, sludgy hockey if you watch those games. It's a lot of no defense and a lot of just clutch and grab when they are trying to play defense. It's just weird. It's weird hockey to watch.
Vegas, Arizona, Vancouver are the top three in the Pacific right now. If we're talking about wild card, Winnipeg, who has 47 points, Edmonton, who has 46 points, hanging on for dear life.
What a downfall that's been.
Calgary, who has 45, you kind of go, is anybody going to kind of jump up and take that? I mean, Winnipeg is now 3 points behind Dallas. Granted, they have a game in hand. They'll make up that game tonight against Toronto,
so,
obviously.
So, I mean, they don't really have a game in hand because, as we've established,
right, they'll play tonight. But at the same time, though, they're only, you know, if they win tonight, they're only a point behind Dallas, point behind Colorado. Yeah, St. Louis is way out in front, don't get me wrong. But there's like this clump of like six or seven teams around 50 points in that Western Conference where you kind of go, yeah. Is anybody going to find a hot streak to get to break away?
I think that's what's going to it's going to happen. Whoever finds the hottest goaltender at the right time is going to end up in the playoffs.
That is true. Well, I mean, you kind of hope that it's Winnipeg. I mean, knock on wood for the home team, but
you could see it being any of them.
Really, it could be any of them at this point. That's the sad part. So, Skippy, you ready to go on? Let's give you a little preview for your show here.
It's favorite albums, top 20 favorite albums of 2019. First show of 2020 is going to be all about 2019.
Look at you.
The list on UFM.com.
Yeah.
I'm going through that list, counting down from 20 to 1, just talking about my favorites. And it's a loose favorites. It's like, it's hard to
it's really
quantify
tough.
Those numbers, but it's like, I try for the fun of it.
No, I mean, that was a really tough thing that I had on the pity party, because I did a year end and a decade end show, and just narrowing down, like, is this song better than that song? It's just really tough.
I think we only have one album that crosses.
Pop. Yeah.
Pop. I think that's good. On everybody's list.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. It's in the top five.
It's such a good album.
I will say this. I try to stay at least up on some of those. They were in the top five for, I think, top five or top 10, at least anyway, for CBC as well. So, I mean, a lot of places that do a lot of Canadian music seem to love pop.
I mean,
they
might be the best rock band in Canada right now.
Could be.
And making big inroads in yeah, all over the world, in yeah, the American market as well.
In Europe, too. Yeah, in Europe, nice. Yeah. Whenever I talk to a European friend of mine, they always ask me, well, what do you think of pop? Man, they're great. Nothing but good things.
There you go. So stay tuned for that, folks. Free Range Radio coming up. Svenny, always a pleasure to spend an hour to chat hockey with you.
Gotta get pucks deep.
Pucks deep, pucks, yeah, exactly. Pucks in deep, pucks to the net, exactly. That's what I like to hear. With that, folks, we're going to get out of here. Going to let Skippy get on here with Free Range Radio here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMF. I'm going to take you out with, speaking of one of the best sort of rock people in Canada, here's a little bit more from our friend and certainly a guy that we've had on the station a couple times, Ariel Posen. As we get out of here with I'm trying to figure out what song. Oh, it's Things I've Said Again here on 101.5 UMFM.
Ain't it funny how love bows down to money at the stroke of a pen?